All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseballs, the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseballs, the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseballs, the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Done it thinking about her.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That ain't right.
I watched Free Enterprise just to... Oh. Hey! It's Geek Stuff episode 11.
That's
catching,
right.
Catching Up, I think, is the title.
It is.
Catching
it
is. Up.
And why are we calling it Catching Up?
Well, because we're going to talk about things that have been bumped from the last couple of episodes.
Sure.
Our last episode, episode X...
Bum, bum,
featured the premiere of Retailer X, coincidentally. Is it a coincidence?
Hmm.
We thought so highly of the Retailer X segment that we had to bump one of the segments we're going to do today, the Ron Weasley segment.
Sure.
The Tonner
Ink.
Ink. Ooh, I almost slipped. The Tonner Ink Ron Weasley segment that we had planned for that had to get bumped.
Right.
We bumped the shocker independent comic characters action figure line
again
for 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
And we also excluded rather accidentally from episode X our discussion of the Ghost Rider trailer that was released.
Correct.
That week.
Correct. So we should start probably with the Ghost Rider trailer.
I think you're right. I think that's going to be really all of our... I think that's about it on the news there.
Yeah, not too much that I came across that I thought was really worthy, but...
Of course, you realize that if anything major does happen, they'll figure out that we recorded this a week before because you're on vacation.
Shh, you're ruining the image. Sorry. You're tearing down the fourth wall.
Can't say that. Oh, wait.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't say that.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. It's a theater term. We've both been involved in theater. Shush.
One of us did it to meet men, and it wasn't me.
Fantastic. Anyway, so the Ghost Rider trailer. I watched it. You watched it. I know Fantastic watched it.
He's thrilled.
What do you guys think? What's
well,
what's
well, here's
feeling?
The thing. You want to go to apple.com.
Right.
In apple.com, you want to go to QuickTime.
Correct. / trailers.
Or apple.com/trailers.
It'll bring you right in
will
there.
That right do it?
Oh, you get a list of a lot of trailers, Ghost Rider being one of them.
Right. You want to check out the Ghost Rider. It's going to ask you want the U.S. or the international version. You need to watch both.
Okay.
I don't think the American one is so hot. The international one I thought was a lot better.
Well,
but you do need to watch both.
Yeah, I think they present different aspects of what is eventually going to comprise the whole movie.
Right.
And the whole feel of the movie.
Right. And that being said, I am highly skeptical going in. They showed us the bike last year at San Diego Comic-Con, mm-hmm. and I thought it was terrible. In retrospect, it probably doesn't look as bad in the film as the one that I saw at San Diego last year. Really means nothing at this point, though, because it's really hard to tell. The effects look fantastic. I think they've captured the essence of it at the very least.
Of the bike or of Ghost Rider?
Of Ghost Rider, well, overall.
I've yet to decide on whether or not I like the whole skull and flame effect and that's a hard one to get. You know, it's not like Wolverine where they can make Hugh Jackman, give him claws, give him a hairstyle, and you can suspend your disbelief pretty much, and you can map him to what you saw in the comics. It's hard to make something. Flame is one of the hardest effects to do plausibly in computer animation.
And
wrap it around
realistic.
The skull and have it look realistic right. for a long time. And not only that, animate it in, you know, he's flying off buildings and right. it's he's walking in flames right. and stuff like that. I don't know if I'm buying it yet. I'll have to see it on the big screen.
Let me say this. I know that you're ready to jump in there, Matt. Let me cut you off because I want to address something that Mr. Fantastic is saying.
Because you're a dick.
Let's not forget that this is, right now, this is, what, June 2006? Mm-hmm. It will be June, right? By the
yes.
yeah, June 2006, and this movie comes out February 2007. We are not seeing final effects here. We are not seeing finished product, I don't think.
I'm not even saying what I saw wasn't good. It's just that I know that that effect in particular and having that effect run throughout the movie has the highest risk associated with it. When you're looking at it, you know, there could be one of those things. It could be the stop motion tauntaun the entire film.
Right. Well, what I was going to jump in with, which Kevin so rudely cut me off with, is exactly what I was going to say. I don't think baby. That we're seeing the final product. I do want to talk about a couple of things that I thought were neat. There's a scene in the trailer which you can't miss. With Ghost Rider, modern day Ghost Rider, on his bike, which I happen to like the bike, by the way. I think it looks pretty good. Riding next to him would be the, I don't know if it's the original Ghost Rider or a young another version of the Ghost Rider, the Western
right.
version of the Ghost Rider.
Right? Marvel does have an Old West character that is Ghost Rider, but I don't think that they are related. I don't think it's the same spirit of vengeance that occupies John Blaze's body that occupied some old cowboy in the Old West. I don't think that's the case, at least not in the book.
Well, they might have taken some creative yeah. liberties for the movie.
I think that's what they did. I think what they're saying is that this spirit has, you know, that John Blaze or Johnny Blaze, which is what I hope they call him,
right.
Johnny Blaze, who is Nick Cage's character in this film, who is possessed by the spirit of vengeance, I think what they're trying to say is that this is not the first time that this has happened, that this has happened perhaps throughout
right.
time, is that the spirit of vengeance has occupied other beings.
I think we'd be remiss to not talk about the spill that they show him take coming off the ramp and landing, and it looks like his head hits the front of the tire and then hits the ground and he goes flying across and hits the wall and the shield for his mask breaks and... That is one painful looking drop he takes.
And I love it because really the part about the trailer I disliked the most was Nicolas Cage. The scenes where he's actually talking and speaking, don't like it. So seeing him in some sort of pain, in some sort of awful spill, thumbs up to that.
At least he's not Superman.
What was the story? Nick Cage wanted to be Superman or he wanted to be Ghost Rider?
No, he wanted to be Superman.
He's obsessed with Superman. He named his child
Kal-El.
Kal-El.
Nice.
His new baby. So,
sane.
But I, in general, he has said that he is just a comic book fan.
And has
wanted to do a comic book movie. Now, how exactly he got tied to Ghost Rider, whether or not Ghost Rider maybe was a second choice for him, I don't know. I could see it. I could see it as being a second choice. But I hate Nick Cage. I really dislike him for the most part. So any scene with him as Johnny Blaze, I didn't like.
Well, I think we've said all that we can say about the Ghost
it's early
Rider
still.
Trailer. I think everyone should check it out, though. Go to apple.com/trailers. Find it. Check out both versions. You get a broad, I think a bit more broad a spectrum by watching both. And I think everyone will enjoy it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations. to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Hello, I'm George Takei, Sulu from the original Star Trek series. Why not check out BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where you can listen each and every week to Geek Stuff. I know I'll be there. Live long and prosper.
Celebrity voices are impersonated.
And we're back, and in case you didn't recognize the music that you're hearing, that would be the Harry Potter theme music, which means it must be time to talk about the Ron Weasley piece from Tonner Inc.
Yes, Tonner Inc. making fantastic Harry Potter collectibles. We talked about Hogwarts Harry in one of our first episodes. And
we talked about, actually, the line in general.
Well, because we saw it at Toy Fair.
Yeah.
And we are pleased as punch to be able to bring to you the second in this series, which is Ron Weasley in his Hogwarts uniform.
Yep. Just like the Harry piece, the detail on him, the detail on the clothing is exquisite. The likeness is really pretty good, or I should say really very good. I don't think there's any... eye controversy, though.
On this piece. Unlike Harry, I think that there's no eye controversy. What can you say?
I gotta say is you guys gotta start taking this out of the box instead of leaving him in there like half in, half out, looking like he's the dead rising from the grave.
I know. I actually like that you're freaked out that he looks like he's in a little coffin and he's facing you, and it just freaks you out. That's why I did that. I left it in that way on purpose.
Well, I have mine open back at my place.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Well,
I
let's pick up and take... Fantastic. Put the portable unit on. We're going to go over to Matt's, and we're going to talk about the open Ron Weasley that he has at his place. No.
It is open. It's just half open, and he's bound. That's the problem.
Yeah. Is that what you like about it, Fantastic, that he's all tied up?
Taking him home with me.
Young all boy. Right. Young boy tied up.
But, again, this piece... this piece is just excellent. The production quality that Tonner is putting into these pieces really, really is perfect for Harry Potter fans. I don't think that any Harry Potter fan would be upset with the piece if they had it in their hands.
I'm actually taking a closer look at it now.
Okay.
And I'm trying to see. Yeah, it is just... It's just fantastic in every way. I mean, that right down to the... I mean, it's almost like you could take these clothes off and put them on a person who was, you know, 18 inches tall.
No, no, no. It was corrected. It's not 18. It's whatever it is. But I think
it's not 18. A person who was 18 inches tall might be able to squeeze into these duds.
Maybe.
Ron comes with, of course, his wand.
Correct.
And he is also in his Hogwarts uniform.
Right.
Complete with the Hogwarts robe and the uniform throughout. The Gryffindor? Gryffindor. I always want to say Gryffindorf. Gryffindor tie and color scheme.
You know, I would say that the clothes... that the Ron Tonner piece is wearing is nicer than the clothes that Ron wears in the movies. In the movies, you know, he's kind of like...
He is a Weasley.
He's Harry's poor friend with the secondhand clothes and the hand-me-down clothes.
It's true.
It is.
It's true. Tonner's Weasley, much better off than the actual Ron Weasley from the film.
Much more affluent. This must be... This is Hit the Lottery, Ron Weasley.
You know what else is really bothering Fantastic? You know what else is really bothering him?
I'll tell you what, it's the hairnet that he has over his face.
I was
going
to say, he's really bugged by the fact that, obviously, the Tonner Inc. Ron Weasley has got the real hair, obviously.
Right.
It's not molded, it's real hair.
Right.
And it's rooted in there, obviously. And Ron has a kind of a moppy head of hair particularly, I think, in the second-ish, third-ish film, it really
starts to get moppy.
Right, and I think that they've captured that here, the moppiness of his hair. And so what happens is they're going to lay the hair flat, obviously. They're going to put some sort of netting over it to keep it flat so that it's not flopping around and getting messed up and ruined before you have the chance to present it. And what's freaking out Fantastic is the fact that he's got this huge net over his head. but secondarily is the fact that the mop is covering Weasley's eyes. And it's like he looks like a red-haired beetle right now. Like pull, hey, somebody take this hairnet off of my head. You know, like that. And it's really freaking Fantastic out.
Which, you know, just an extra bonus on top of the piece.
No, he's got a Fantastic look.
Yeah, never mind the bloody baby with the fangs. The giant green goblin face that's grinning next to me. The Incredible Hulk bust.
What? I think the studio is richly adorned with, dare I say, geek stuff.
Never mind these things. These stand-up cutout of the Joker.
Yeah? What's wrong with that? You better tread carefully, Fantastic.
No, now that's fine, but when you walk in here and the lights are off and like the fish tank is the only thing moving, casting a little, you know, moving light around the room, it's a scary place.
First of all, that's a turtle tank.
Oh, you haven't seen anything yet. What we're going to get to in another episode down the line is going to be the Twilight Turtle. Wait till you see this thing.
Oh, the Twilight Turtle?
This little plush turtle.
I can't remember the name of that company.
Projects on the... Oh, but anyway.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's coming. That'll probably be episode 11. I think we'll have it by episode...
This is episode 11. Oh, episode 12.
Wait, I mean episode 12 because this
right,
is
episode 11.
11. And
the time machine.
The middle of June.
Right. But anyway, getting back to the Tonner piece.
Tonner.
Again, the quality of the piece is really high-end. The price tag on this piece is close to $300, I believe. You definitely will not be disappointed. You definitely can still get these things directly from Tonner, I believe. Definitely from the secondhand market. And
you mean...
eBay alert. eBay alert. eBay alert.
Exactly. eBay definitely has them. I know I've seen them up there. Not even a question. You would be doing yourself a disservice if you don't get this piece, especially if you have the Harry piece already, because you want to continue the line.
Right. If you are a Harry Potter fan, this is the collection that you want.
Definitely.
There hasn't been, we're going to say it again. We've said it before. There isn't a Harry Potter collectible of this magnitude, of this level out there. There just isn't. The action figures, they have never amounted to anything.
With the exception of one figure.
One figure. One figure. They did a whole line. A whole line of them 3 1/4, 4-inch
That's
figures.
Not even the figure I'm talking about.
I know. You're talking about the Mattel one that came out for the third film,
Prisoner of Azkaban.
Right. And you're talking about the Quidditch Harry on one.
The broom with the clear base. So he kind of looks
magnetic-y,
like
magnetic-y, that one. Yeah, that's a great piece. But really... for the high-end collector, even for the collector who just likes his shit to look good, this Tonner Incorporated, this is the Harry Potter line for you. And you can expect to hear on this program about every Tonner Harry Potter piece that comes out because we are fans of this, it's true. And it's unfortunate that we can't share yet with the audience, the other plans that Tonner has for other licenses.
It's true.
I wish.
We'll get the green light eventually.
I know, but it's like, oh, I know this really great thing and I can't say it. I hate when he ties our hands like that.
And the next piece you can expect us to be talking about on the show definitely is going to be a Hermione piece. And we know that, you know, there are at least two coming, but I think first we're going to end up seeing Hermione in her school clothes.
The Hogwarts Hermione?
Yes, correct.
Hogwarts uniform. I'll tell you what, though, and I'm saying this, and I hope he's listening. I hope
you know he
I
is.
Hope Mr. Tonner is listening. We want a Quidditch Harry.
We do.
We want a Quidditch Harry, and we want it now.
Yes,
we want it right now, sir. And they do have extensive plans for the line. Mm-hmm. We know that. We know about stuff that we can't talk about.
Sure.
Even on this line.
Sure.
So look forward to hearing more about Tonner. Like we said, you're a Harry Potter fan. You're out there finding this line for yourself. You got to. You just have to do it.
Definitely.
You have to take the plunge, and you got to do it.
Yep.
But you got to have friends.
Hey, Kev, we finally got a MySpace page.
Ugh.
It's www.myspace.com/BigKev'sGeekStuff.
I can't believe we sunk to this level.
So go there, join up, become one of our friends.
Ugh, yeah, one of our friends like that awful Tom.
Hi, I'm Tom. I created MySpace.
Kev, how do you know what Tom sounds like?
I was just guessing he would sound like that.
I've paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence but committed no crime. And bad mistakes I've made a few. I've had my shells and kicks in my bed, but I've come through.
I need to go.
Wow. Well, we're back, and I have to say, I'm jacked about this segment.
The segment that got bumped 3 times?
I am so jacked. I can't believe that we are actually... This is breaking news. This is breaking news right here, right now. Breaking news, folks. Breaking news. Shocker is Shocker Inc., right?
Yes.
Shocker is putting out... a line of, what are they?
Yeah, I think it's Shocker Toys.
Shocker Toys, putting out a line of, this is breaking news, this is a world premiere right here. World premiere. World premiere. They're putting out a line of six, is it six, six, 7 inch?
Yes.
They're putting out a line of 6 inch comic book characters from wide and varying independent titles.
7 inches, Kevin.
Whatever.
7 inch line.
Whatever. I bet they're all not 7 inches.
They're going to be a 7 inch line similar to the Guar figures that you've seen already that are coming from Shocker.
Let's just start off right now. Let's coin the phrase. This is breaking news. No one is going to beat us to this. Nobody is going to beat us to this.
I haven't seen it anywhere else, so.
We're calling them indie legends.
That's what they are.
Indie legends. Because my understanding is... they will be very articulated.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we know at this point? Before we get into who, what else do we know generally about the line?
Well, it's really going to be a bunch of figures that we all want to see made.
Okay.
But most likely would never be made by any of the major toy companies out there.
Gotcha. 6 to 7 inches. Fully articulated, am I right?
Yes.
Do they boast the number of points of articulation?
20 plus points of articulation.
Ooh, that's Marvel Legends style.
Yep.
Indie Legends. We cloned it here. Breaking news today. Breaking news. Shocker announces today that... All right, it wasn't today.
Not even close.
All right, I'll stop.
Okay. Can you stop?
It's still going to be a kick-ass line.
It is going to be a great line. I think we probably should talk about some of the stuff that we know is going to be in there.
Let's talk about who's going to be in it.
Okay. Well, it looks like there's going to be some classic Valiant characters in there. I'm guessing it's going to be the Valiant representations. Magnus Robot Fighter, Solar Man of the Atom. And then they're talking about some other little quirky characters like Jack Staff, who
who right there deserves a toy line of his own.
Exactly. I mean, Jack Staff was a great book. Is Jack Staff
still is? It's still going.
I haven't read it in a while.
You know what? I think it was. I can't remember who originally published it, but now I think it's being done by Image.
Oh, okay.
I think that's maybe where the confusion lies there. Let me tell you. Let me just stop right here. I don't know very much about Magnus. I don't know very much about Solar Man of the Atom.
Pretty cool characters. Great books when they were coming out by Valiant.
Sure. But I do know about Jack Staff. I read Jack Staff. I'm a fan of Jack Staff. And I have to say, there is a bevy of characters in that book that can be done. And I'm really excited that we're kicking off at least with Jack Staff. I mean, there's a whole slew. Jack Staff, for the uninitiated, how do you put this politely? It's kind of a homage. That's good. A politically correct word.
Sure.
To certain Marvel characters.
Right.
Of which Jack Staff is sort of loosely kind of might be somewhat sort of associated with the character Union Jack.
Right.
Sort of. In a loose, non-lawsuit way.
Right.
Either way, they're fantastic. The characters are great. I can only hope that this is a springboard that will launch us into more characters from that book.
Well, you think you're excited about Jack Staff. You're going to be nuts over this next one. Scud, the disposable assassin.
Let me tell you.
Is going to be in this line.
Possibly my favorite independent comic book of all time. If you have never read Scud, the disposable assassin, you need to go to your local comic book store. And, well, of course...
eBay alert. eBay alert. eBay alert.
That's right. You can also go to eBay and you can pick up the trade paperbacks. There are three, which I think cover most of the Scud stories that came out. Scud the Disposable Assassin, definitely quirky, offbeat comic book. Definitely a must read. And definitely overdue for action figures.
There was actually a video game too. Was it for the
couple of video
was
games?
Was it for the Dreamcast?
It was for the. I actually have it. It's for the.
I think it was for the Sega Dreamcast, wasn't it?
It might have been for the Dreamcast. There was also a PC game.
Oh, I didn't know about that one.
There was. There was also rumored to be a cartoon series that was being developed by Oliver Stone's company, I believe, and it just sat in development hell. The guy who created it, Rob Schrab, kind of fell off the face of the earth.
Yep.
And I'm actually surprised that they were able to find him, to be completely honest with you. Here, this is a little side note. I've been trying to buy original Scud art. There's some panel work in issue 2 or issue 3 that I would give Mr. Fantastic's testicle for. Seriously. There are some sequences in there that are just, they are incredible. And I have been dying to get my hands on the originals for years. I mean, you're talking over 10 years ago. This book was at its height and peak. They did there was a second, third, La Cosa Nostroid spun off of that. And Tales from the Vending Machine spun off of that.
Yep.
It was a great universe series of books that just disappeared. I'd like to bring it back. I'd like to find a way, and I'd like to bring it back.
Well, you never know. They've been bringing stuff back now, you know.
Fantastic. Drop those pants.
Maybe if the toy sells really well, they bring it back like they brought back Family Guy after the DVD sales were so good.
Maybe.
But some of the other figures that are going to be in this line, some of these figures have actually been done in some incarnation or other, but we have a Madman, which I believe has been done before.
Madman, done in a line called Big Blast.
Yes.
I believe. And that was Graffiti Designs.
Mm-hmm. That was the same line that had the mage in it and...
two mages.
There was two mages?
Yeah.
And there was
another one mage, two Grendel.
Yes, two Grendel.
And... Okay. There was, they did a Madman accessory pack, which gave you the rocket pack and the helmeted Madman. There was also, who else? Oh, Hellboy. The first Hellboy action figure
was in there. That's right.
Blast,
that's right.
Which was great. Who did we forget?
I don't know. I think that might. It wasn't a very big
Spirit.
Line. Was Spirit in there too?
I think the Spirit was in there also.
Okay.
Great line. Great figure. Still have them in my collection. Be looking to see what Shocker's angle is on it. Hopefully they'll do. Oh, did they do the black and yellow Madman costume?
I don't know.
Big Blast? I can't.
No,
remember
I don't
if
think
they
so.
Did,
I think it was
not.
Only the
well,
traditional colors.
If they didn't, that's one way to go. There's sure. characters and there's other characters in Madman, I guess, who deserve probably treatment as well.
Sure. Then there's also the new Toxic Avenger. There's been a version of the Toxic Avenger done before. Soda did one.
There was a whole line of animated Toxic Avenger figures.
Oh, that's right.
I just saw them at the con this past weekend.
Yep.
And they are awful. awful. But the Soda one
is great.
Great.
Yeah, Citizen Toxie or whatever his name is.
Whatever. Yeah, but he's really good. That's kind of the essence of the character by Soda, as opposed to the cartoony version with all his little creepy toxic friends. Ugh, I hate when they do that.
Right.
It's like, it's like what they did to Savage Dragon.
Oh,
when they did the Savage Dragon animated line or whatever. Ugh.
Yuck.
Ugh. All of his friends. Really? Are they?
Also, they're doing Witchblade and Darkness figures.
Totally been done.
In an animated line, correct?
No. They did an animated Witch. They did a couple animated, but they had a full-out comic-based line by Moore. More collectibles.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
No,
okay.
You remember them. You're just not remembering them at this second.
Okay.
They had the one Witchblade who had the red hair with the long braid.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Uh-huh,
and they
I
had
do.
Darkness,
I do.
And they had them two little gnomey
little okay.
dudes.
Okay.
Yeah, those were pretty good pieces. I'd be interested, again, to see what direction Shocker is going to take these licenses in. Yeah.
And then you have some other classic characters. It looks like Dick Tracy, the Lone Ranger, and the Phantom are in there as well.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do with them or how they plan on presenting them or if they're based on some sort of artistic interpretation that, well, at least with Dick Tracy and the Lone Ranger, I mean, the Phantom is the Phantom.
The Lone Ranger is the Lone Ranger.
Yeah, but the Phantom could be easily based off of any of the dozen comic books. Was there a Lone Ranger comic book that I just don't remember?
There probably was at some point.
Yeah, so maybe
there was actually there was a Lone Ranger and Tonto miniseries done by Tim Truman,
right? Okay,
a while back. But I think what you're looking at is white hat, black mask,
right?
Blue
shirt,
suit,
right?
Silver guns, black. I mean, I think you're looking at your you
right.
You're very basic. And speaking of Lone Ranger action figures,
I know what you're going for
at the flea market. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago, I picked up the old, who made them? I don't even remember who made them.
I don't even
was
know.
It Marks?
It might have been.
The those 8-9-inch dolls from the 70s, Lone Ranger, Tonto, Silver, Lone Ranger and Silver, his horse, and Tonto and Scout, perfect condition, for like $20-25 a set.
Wow.
Fantastic find. But that's interesting. So Lone Ranger...
Dick Tracy.
Don't know that there's been Dick Tracy action figures other than those awful ones done for the movie.
For the movie, yeah.
They were horrid.
Well, I'm guessing these aren't going to be movie-based figures. It's probably going to be that animated kind of big chin.
Yeah, that line.
Yeah.
The line eyes. It's just a line. Yeah. That would be great, actually. I hope they do it.
Sure.
It'd
be a very... kind of retro classic representation of the character.
There are a lot of people doing that now. There are a lot of people who are doing figures that are based on their comic counterparts' art style. And the couple that I can think of right off the bat are the Tim Sale versions of Batman characters that
have
done
right.
like the Long Halloween and Dark Victory series. There's the Hellboy comic.
Yep.
Figures from Mezco that are being done in the style of Mike Mignola, which is which are great. Series 2 is coming on that.
I know.
Too. And I mean, I think that you're seeing Alex Ross. There's 4 or 5 Alex Ross lines at this point.
Yep.
And it looks like Alex Ross painting get up and walk off the
page.
Well,
there's the Jim Lee line, the hush line.
Right. Yeah. Right. Also, Jim Lee.
And you know, there was that J. Scott Campbell Danger Girl line, which, whether or not you like Campbell or Danger Girl, they looked like they walked off the pages of Danger Girl. McFarlane put those out.
Exactly. Well, hopefully Dick Tracy will, well, really all of these in some way or other, we hope will follow suit.
Yep.
And shocker, I think, I have to say that I'm so excited, but then I'm worried a little too.
Well, it's a bold step. It's a bold project, and it has to be done right. And I think the assortments have to be pretty well, and the packouts have to be well. And otherwise, you know, if they start falling into those classic pitfalls, I think that they run the risk of pushing the consumer away quickly.
I think they want to desperately not do that here, because there's no mainstream following for the bulk of these characters.
Well, there's some even more obscure characters. Victoria's Secret Service, Judo Girl.
These are
Oz
new...
F5.
I don't know about Oz F5.
That's that Wizard of Ozzy kind of almost battle chasery looking kind of book that's out there. It looks like a Maggiore-era kind of style.
Victoria's Secret Service and Judo Girl are both relatively new comics.
Uh-huh.
They're by, I want to say Alias, but I don't know if that's the company that's...
No. It's a Blue Water or something like that. It's not. Oh,
not
no,
Southern
no.
Island.
No. Yeah, no.
That's...
I don't know, but it's not Alias. I know it's not Alias.
Well, there's Victoria's Secret Service. Interesting little concept. I actually knew that there was another company, Southern Island, I think it's called, something like that, who was planning on doing action figures for Victoria's Secret Service, and I guess isn't now.
Well, I mean, aside from some of these obscure characters, me and Kevin kind of thought about this line, and we kind of made a wish list of figures that we thought we'd love to see in the line. Figures that are not mentioned in the press release that Shocker put out there,
right,
that we think would be really appropriate for this type of line of figures. So I want to talk about some of those.
Sure, go ahead.
First one on the list, Quantum and Woody and the Goat.
Absolutely.
Well, how could these have not been done already?
Quantum and Woody, an unfortunately short-lived series, came out, that'd be quite a while ago now.
Sure.
6-7 years at least, I'm sure.
More than that.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was the mid-90s.
Well, it was called Quantum Woody. Fantastic concept for a book. They did actually do the Goat in action figure.
They do. I remember the Goat.
I have
them. I don't remember who did it or what kind of release it had, but I remember there was a Goat
action
figure.
I think whoever was putting out that book at the time, and I can't for the life of me remember the name of that company.
Yeah, I don't know.
But they're here and gone, so... Yeah. Which is unfortunate. It's very unfortunate that Quantum and Woody has not resurfaced.
I loved that book.
Oh, it was great. You can check out
eBay Alert. eBay Alert. eBay Alert.
Right, eBay, and pick up Quantum and Woody graphic novels. There are a couple of them if you want to read a really kind of different book. I want to say Mark Bright. Is that who wrote?
I don't
Mark
even remember
Bright
the creative
either
team
wrote
right
or drew it. I can't remember, but it's actually an excellent would be an excellent choice for this line.
Yep. Another character that I know you are passionate as hell about, that you would be very excited to see in this line, would be the Wretch.
The Wretch. I so fear that they would never be able to do the Wretch justice that I want it and I don't want it. Great character. That would
be hard to capture in figure format.
Yeah, because he was really sort of so nondescript and amorphous. Is that the right word? Amorphous.
Sure.
Great character by Phil Hester. Great book. Again, haven't picked it up. Find those trades and read them. They all out recently, too, in the last 2 years. I think there's 3 volumes which cover all the issues that came out and some previously unreleased material.
Yep.
You should definitely check that out. Yeah, the Wretch would be awesome. I'd also like to see, I don't know if we jotted this one down or not. I was thinking about this the other day. I would like to see just done well somehow, just a Liberty Meadows line.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. The problem with Liberty Meadows collectibles, the issues, the trades, the collected, they're pretty easy to come by. You can find them, your local retailer, you can find them online. They're not hard to come by. But the collectibles that they put out, there's a couple of plush pieces, there's a statue or two, there's like a Christmas ornament or two. They go so quickly and they sell for so much that to see the characters done in a line like this where they would be accessible to the fans would be great. And there's so many characters you can do from that line that would do really well. All of them equally good. All of them equally interesting, fun characters. If you've never read that book, you're doing yourself a huge disservice.
And the great thing here with
fuck Frank Cho.
All right, stop it. He was supposed to be at the con. He didn't show up. I'm sure he had a good reason.
I risked my life that day.
All right.
8 hours.
All right, let's not get into it. Let's concentrate on the line.
All right.
What I think is great about that particular line is that you can do like Frank,
uh-huh,
and you can do Brandy,
uh-huh,
and
Truman, Oscar.
Yeah, but then you could do those.
Leslie, Ralph.
In multiple packs.
Sure.
No, I mean, you could do not Leslie. You could do Truman and Oscar
together
as a two pack.
Well, you can easily do Leslie and Ralph as a two pack.
Right.
Most of their hijinks are together. You could do, Brandy and Frank, you can do by themselves.
Right. And I'm
drawing a blank.
What's her name?
Oh, Jen, Brandy's roommate.
Yeah.
Right by herself.
You could do the cow.
Right. And why am I drawing a blank on the pig's name right now? I can't remember his name. And I was just reading that graphic the other day, volume 4.
I don't remember what his name is.
I can't remember.
Leslie?
But you could do those figures in packs if you wanted to. A bunch of them would stand alone by themselves. But it would be great to see lower priced quality collectibles for people that are interested in that line.
Right.
Kind of like Alien Legion.
Alien Legion. Creator owned comic book that was put out in Marvel's Epic line in mm-hmm. the 80s. Mm-hmm. Epic was their creator-owned line, which is to say that Marvel did not own the rights to any of the characters, but did publish the book. I think that's Carl Potts, who I recently met, I believe is the owner of that line. Yeah, here you have a great classic 80s comic book. In my opinion, a sci-fi staple
mm-hmm.
in the comic book world, in many ways an underrated and overlooked piece of science fiction that really, really, really deserves reinvestigation. They've been putting out trades in the last couple of years of the old
right.
stuff. And it's finding a little bit more of an audience now, perhaps. Maybe some people are discovering it. Hey, it's in my world, in my top 10 of ongoing series of all time. It's just that good. And to have some action figures, Jugger Grimrod, who is kind of the Wolverine of
right.
Alien Legion, it would be incredible. That's something that I have personally been wishing for, you know, for like 20 years, more than 20 years,
right.
25 years, maybe, you know, whenever that book first came. I read that book from the day it came out.
Well, another book that you had put on here, or another character that you put in here that I'm not really familiar with, would be the Marquis. I've never read any of those stories, but I know you're pretty familiar with it.
Yeah, Guy Davis book, kind of a, I don't know how one says it, it's kind of a revolutionary period kind of character, sword and pistol kind of guy. He's kind of got the weird mask going on. It's just a great independent character who would do well with action figure treatment.
Well, then in the same vein as that character, another book that you've heard us talk about on the show, The Black Coat.
Black Coat, really recent. Issue 2 came out last week.
Right.
Right?
Was yes, last week.
Was it the week before?
It was last week.
Okay. So, wait, are you sure? Because then we take.
It was last week.
But I think it was the week before.
Whatever week it was.
Black Coat, great, great book. Great second issue. Again, another, it's almost, you want to say a standalone character who would do well with a singular action figure treatment. You could say that about a lot. There's more that we've even been discussing of late.
Sure.
Revere.
Sure.
Done in the style that that art is, be a great figure.
Sure.
What's that other one? I can't remember now.
I don't know, but I have two more that I want to put on this list.
Okay.
One would be from a graphic novel that I don't really think probably gets enough attention that Kevin introduced me to, and that would be Sparks.
Right.
I'd love to see a figure of Galahad, the robot, in Sparks.
Again, I think that is a piece that they could not successfully capture.
You know what, though? I was thinking about it more, and I started to think to myself, how would you do a piece like that? How would you capture that kind of robot essence? And as I was looking around my collection and I was looking around my office, my eyes focused on the Sideshow Popbot statue.
Right.
And I thought to myself that with a couple of tweaks and some changes, obviously, to make it into the character of Galahad, that much the way that Popbot captured the Popbot statue captured that character, you could do something similar with Galahad.
Okay, but you're mixing metaphors here. You're mixing genres. Because I believe entirely and utterly that Galahad could be captured as a statue.
But not as a figure.
But not as an action figure.
Okay.
Because you have a very amorphous... again, it's a very amorphous character. It has one minute, it has kind of these gangly arms that are arm size. The next minute, they're 30 feet long. It's, you know, in one moment, it looks this way. In another moment, it looks an entirely different way. How do you rectify or justify all of those? How do you combine all of those images to form one three-dimensional three-dimensional expression.
I understand. I understand where you're coming from. I don't know. I'd like to see it maybe attempted, or I don't know. Maybe if someone even did a statue of it, I'd be happy. But I just think the character needs to be represented
in
some sort of format.
Oh, I agree. Totally.
The last one that I wanted to talk about, which really, well, I guess in one form wouldn't lend itself to the over-articulated figure, but in its counterpart form, probably maybe sort of could. And that would be a set of Knights of the Dinner Table figures. And when I first thought about it, I was thinking, well, it would have to be, you know, Brian and Gary and Sarah in their regular gamer mode sitting around the table. And then I thought to myself, well, that really doesn't lend itself to an action figure. It lends itself to a PVC line, which I believe has already been done. But
really?
But yeah, I think there was at least a Brian PVC. I think, and there might have even been another one, but not 100% sure. Definitely Brian, though. But if you did their counterparts, if you did the characters that they portray in Hackmaster, which is the game that they're playing in most of the Knights of Dinner Table strips, if you do a Teflon Billy figure and you do an El Ravager figure.
Isn't that...
if you do a Knuckles figure.
Don't they have a book?
It's Knights of the Dinner Table Illustrated is what the book
is
called.
Oh, okay.
And that's pretty much the tabletop sessions, but brought over into the actual characters, and the actual characters are sketched out as how they should look and performing the stuff. I think that would be a really quirky kind of underground line that would lend itself to a little bit more articulation and play feel to it.
We should explain Knights of the Dinner Table started out years ago as a strip that really, really focused on role-playing.
Yeah.
In the sense that these were just characters sitting at a table, and it was largely conversation that one might overhear while role-playing, while playing a role-playing game.
Right.
And the one that we always quote to each other is the dungeon master is seen to be saying, okay, you come over the hill and you see a gazebo. And all the other players start preparing themselves to attack the gazebo. And the one character says, I'm drawing my sword. The other one, I'm loading up a fireball, bringing a magic missile online, and preparing to attack this gazebo. And the dungeon master is befuddled because it's a gazebo.
And actually, I think that's his line pretty much is, but guys, it's a gazebo. And it goes on for a bunch of panels, and it's like, all right, El Ravager, you hit the gazebo with your Hackmaster plus 12 for 20 points of damage. And El Ravager's like, okay, what happens next? And the Dungeon Master's like, nothing. It's a gazebo. And it kind of just goes on like that until the end of the panel where...
they burn it down,
it's
right?
It's just burnt to the ground. It's just nothing but a charred form. And they never fully catch on
right
to what has just... it's gone on before them.
Right. It's that kind of, it's, I want to say it's very in for gamers in the mm-hmm. sense that it's kind of in jokes, but it isn't. It does have broader, I think a broader appeal than that.
And it's got a huge, huge fan following.
And what they did was they took, these characters. So there's the same characters in the book, and they play the same characters in this fantasy role-playing game called Hackmaster, which subsequent they have actually put out a role playing game called Hackmaster.
I have the player's guide.
Right, which is very funny. But then what they did was they actually have done now a second book mm-hmm. called Knights of the Dinner Table Illustrated,
right,
where you're seeing the adventures of these characters that are being played in the role playing game.
And these are not most of these are not new stories. What they've actually done is they've gone back through some of the older issues and they've taken some of these conversational game segments and they've converted them into the illustrated version of what's going on. So as you're reading it, you're like, oh, I remember that. I remember right. that segment from 3 years ago, whenever it was. It's really a funny, kind of clever book.
It's
both of them are.
It's a shame I don't think the gazebo one works as a Knights of the Dinner Table Illustrated joke.
Now, probably not.
But it's great.
It is.
Great. If you're a gamer of any sort, if you've ever played a role-playing game, you have been witness to some utter catastrophes of decision-making and role-playing. And what this book does, Knights of the Dinner Table, is it shines a light on it, if mm-hmm. you will. So yeah, I think some Knights of the Dinner Table Illustrated figures would be very appropriate.
Yep. And I think that's all that we came up with for this list. Although I'm sure there are plenty of other characters that we looked over or maybe
we talked about PvP?
Mm-hmm. Oh no, we didn't talk about PvP.
Oh, I thought we had said PvP.
No, but PvP would be another set of... Now, see, PvP suffers the same problem that Knights of the Dinner Table regular players kind of suffer. There's not a lot of representation and mobility there. I don't know that PvP would be a great example. Maybe for a PvC line, but not for this line.
Right.
But there are plenty of other characters that should be made. I think Shocker is taking a bold move by doing this line. I applaud them for doing this line.
It's very brave.
And I hope that it's executed properly. And I am ecstatic and excited to see what comes out of this line.
We are going to be keeping a very watchful mm-hmm. eye on Shocker Toys. And hopefully, in the near future, when we get this whole phone thing sorted out, we're going to have the president of Shocker.
Who, Jeff Beckett?
And we're going to have him on this show, and he's going to answer our questions, and they're not going to be easy.
Hi, everyone. This is Mark.
No, stop it. Do it right.
This is Mr. Fantastic.
There you go.
Producer of Geek Stuff. Check out the home site at www.bigkevsgeekstuff.com, where you can download each episode, check out image galleries, and drop us your comments each and every week. That's BigKevsGeekStuff.com. I fucking hate you guys.
playing a game of catch-up on Geek Stuff. We're happy to finally have gotten to some of these topics this week. In our news segment.
Right.
Which wasn't really much of a segment.
It was.
But we talked more extensively about it. We talked about the Ghost Rider trailer, now available online. Go to apple.com/trailers, select Ghost Rider, and you're going to want to watch both the American and international versions.
Because they are very different.
They are. To get a good broad spectrum, I say wait and see. Matt says, I don't think Nicolas Cage should be alive. Fantastic says, I'm waiting to see better effects. So we're all kind of up in the air. You let us know what you think of it once you see it.
We then went into the Tonner Inc. review of Ron Weasley in his Hogwarts uniform.
And what did Tonner think of Ron Weasley?
I don't know.
But you said it was the Tonner review.
Huh?
You said it was the Tonner review.
Well, it was a review of a Tonner project.
But shouldn't that
Shush! We talked about how high scale the figure is, the quality, again, of the clothing. The likeness is very good. Overall, it is really a high scale quality figure that is a must for Harry Potter fans.
All kidding aside, if you are a Harry Potter fan and you aren't getting these Tonner figures, you are doing yourself a disservice. And you need to prepare now, guys.
Uh-huh.
And gals. You need to prepare now for the next step.
Yep.
In Tonner. Tonner's next step.
Yep.
Because they are coming at you. They are fully committed to attacking this market.
It's and true.
They are coming both barrels blazing. That's all we can say.
Yep. We then moved into what we're calling the Indie Legends.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
This would be the Shocker Toys 7-inch, 20-plus points of articulation indie figure line.
Right.
With some characters that we know about. Madman, Witchblade, Darkness, Magnus Robot Fighter, Scud the Disposable Assassin, Jack Staff, Dick Tracy, the Lone Ranger, the Phantom, a couple other ones that we
mentioned.
And
on and on and on.
Yes.
That's a big line.
It is. And there's a ton more that I didn't even mention. And then we kind of discussed some figures that we thought really would be appropriate for this line or would lend well to this line. And we'd love to hear what you have to say or what you feel belongs in this line, because eventually we are going to have the opportunity to talk to Shocker. And we'd love to pass on what you feel would be good, because, you know, I think this line is going to be really driven by the collector. It's really going to be driven by what we want.
Right. I totally agree with you there. I think that Shocker's the kind of company that's going to listen for character selection. And you're not going to see Wolverine in every line.
Thank God.
Thankfully, not in any line coming from this company. Thank
right.
God. So I just want to say on a serious note, and Matt will back me here, that we are deeply saddened and heartfelt, and our hearts go out to all the people that were affected by the tragedy that took place in the past week. And we just don't feel that we should skate over it without saying that we feel for the victims of this senseless tragedy.
It's true. It was really awful. And, you know, we here at Geek Stuff are trying to be respectable for to the families of those involved. But I think we're going to get on. We'll be okay.
I think we'll be okay. I think we'll all be able to recover from this. You know, we got to focus on the good things.
Right.
And we got to make sure that these sorts of tragedies are limited as much as possible.
Surely.
And hopefully someday to the point of them being entirely gotten rid of altogether. I agree. That's at Geek Stuff. That's what we're hoping. We're hoping this tragedy is the last of its kind.
I wholeheartedly agree. And again, our thoughts and prayers go out to the victims' families.
Do you think they bought it?
I don't know. I bought it.
Does that cover us?
I think so.
Okay. We got to put that in if there's anything. Okay, good. Hope to God nothing happens.
And on that note, we cue the music.